You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm here in the Dog Bowl in Berea. John DeFilippo, I was doing some reading on him in the break out of Oakland, and basically says he's kind of like Norv Turner, power running game, vertical passing. I like that offense a little bit better, especially now that we actually have the running backs to do it, and you get a guy like Joel Bitonio to help maul. I think that the Norv Turner offense that was here 2 years ago would have been much more effective last season, and now you're going to get something similar to that with DeFilippo.
I definitely do. Again, having played for Norv, I was very familiar and looked forward to Norv, you know, running that offense here. The one thing that's very intriguing, if in fact it is a very similar to Norv Turner's offense, you got to think, how did Josh Gordon look in that Norv Turner offense, throwing the football down the field and giving him down the field opportunities on deep digs,
much
deep
better
crossing routes, the big overs, and of course the fly or the nine route going deep and trying to get behind defenders. That's the one thing you got to love. And just, again, going back to what you said about Joel Bitonio, Joel Bitonio reminds me of a guy that I played with. His name was Chris Dielman. He was like a 3- or 4-time All-Pro, Pro Bowl-type player. He was an undrafted free agent as a defensive lineman out of the University of Indiana. Midway through training camp, our rookie season, they go, hey, have you ever played any offense? He just got that nasty in him like Bitonio has. So they flipped him over to the offense, and he was just handling defensive linemen. And then he became the pulling guard in that Norv Turner scheme, you know, from that left side.
Right.
You know, for LaDainian Tomlinson, Michael Turner, Darren Sproles, whoever it might be, and we became very dominant.
And that's what you want to see. If that is, in fact, where they go, I certainly like that. I think that's a good fit for what we have. I think it's a good fit for a guy like Isaiah Crowell and for Terrence West to be more in a power running scheme as opposed to the zone scheme. But we'll have to hear from himself what he's going to say there. But that's basically where he was versed. If you go back throughout his career, you know, he's under Kevin Gilbride and Tom Coughlin, and with a young Eli Manning back in 2005, 2006 with the Giants. Then he was with the Jets and tutored Mark Sanchez in the best year of his career when the rookie made the AFC Championship game.
Their power running game.
In 2010, he was at San Jose State's quarterback coach, groomed Ryan Lindley, who ended up working out in the NFL at the Arizona Cardinals. Became their offensive coordinator, bumped their rankings up 32 spots. His first stint in Oakland, he was around Dante Culpepper, Josh McCown, Andrew Walter, and a very lazy Jamarcus Russell. Second time around, it was much better. Carson Palmer, Leinart, Terrell Pryor, and now, of course, with Derek Carr, Matt McGloin as well. So, interesting. There's actually an old article from the Raider Nation Times kind of paralleling his career as a guy who could be, you know, kind of like a Jim Harbaugh in terms of the way that he has come up. And here's a comment right now from Mike McIntyre, who was the head coach at San Jose State when DeFilippo was the play caller there. He said, they like DeFilippo a lot. He does a great job with knowledge, challenging them. He's fundamentally sound, but doesn't coach them with kids' gloves. He will stay on them. He will listen to staff. He'll decipher as far as being organized. He's type A in that area, but he listens to everybody else, takes ideas, and shapes them. And now there are people who think that this hire with his resume, Pat McManaman just writing right now, that it seems to point to Johnny Manziel, quarterback who's worked with young guys like, of course, Derek Carr, Terrell Pryor, Matt McGloin, that he expects, you know, that says that he's going to work with a young guy with Johnny Manziel.
Absolutely. And I think just hearing you, you know, list off all that stuff, the one thing that, you know, the one thought that I did have was about Johnny Manziel, that, you know, John DeFilippo was a part of young, inexperienced quarterbacks at every level, but then, you know, brought the best out of them when they had an opportunity. You talked about Lindley at San Jose State. He was probably an unknown, but I essentially got him ready to play in the NFL, maybe not be a starter in the NFL on a week-in, week-out basis, but got the best out of him. Terrell Pryor, I remember him at Ohio State. I said there was no way that guy could ever play quarterback in the National Football League. He throws the football like he's throwing darts,
he
you know,
does.
And for him to, and again, I know Oakland's a bad football team that was desperate for a quarterback, but for him to go out and win some football games, you know, not a whole lot of them, but and play adequate enough to be the starter, you know, week after week after week. And McGloin, as you said, an unknown for him to be developed. So you've got to love that, and I think that adding another body, adding competition to the quarterback room will better Johnny Manziel by itself. But now that you have a up-and-coming football guru, quarterback guru, is only a good thing for this organization.
And this is something, just to go back to lend credence, that it will be vertical passing. And I know he didn't call the plays last year, and people say, watch the tape. I got tweets that says, watch the tape, and he's got the worst yards per attempt in the NFL. Yards per attempt in the NFL doesn't talk about vertical passing. That just talks about overall success with your yards divided by your attempts. If you were to look at Derek Carr was actually fifth in the NFL with 71 passes of 20 or more yards in the air. So that is a vertical. Now, he wasn't the play caller there, but obviously that's a system that DeFilippo is coming from most recently.
Absolutely. And the other thing that I tag with Derek Carr there in Oakland and John DeFilippo as well is, name one of Oakland's receivers. A very unheralded group, which probably added to some of the struggles for Derek Carr as a rookie, and John DeFilippo. And of course, for him, you want to play to their strengths, And if you don't have that guy that can go deep or, catch that deep ball or get behind a defense like we do now in Josh Gordon, whether he's a Brown or not, I don't know. But you have to play to your strengths, and I think that's what he did, which could have affected their numbers to go downfield.
Guys, getting a couple questions here on Twitter. You can tweet us at Browns_daily. Use the hashtag mailbag today since it is a mailbag Wednesday. Does the DeFilippo signing open the possibility of the Browns pursuing Carson Palmer if Arizona cuts him because of the bonus due? That's from Johnny Stoggs.
I certainly think that would be possible because Carson Palmer set the Oakland franchise record back with DeFilippo in 2012. He still has a little bit left in his tank. I thought Carson Palmer definitely has something. It just would be a matter of the price point if that's what they want, but he could be a veteran if he does get cut because of that bonus that could come in to the Browns and certainly would have familiarity with this offense and familiarity at least working with him. And Palmer this year, 142 out of 224 for 1,629 yards, 11 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, and 96 quarterback rating. He actually played pretty well this season for Arizona and still certainly can throw the ball.
He did, and in some cases, this could potentially be his last payday. I'm sure that payday that he received in Arizona that he's not going to be able to see through if he does, in fact, get cut. This could be his last 3 to 4 year deal that he's going to sign with the club as an opportunity to be the leader and be the guy. So, and maybe in some cases we could get that at a little bit of a discount if there's no one else out there willing to pay him that kind of money.
No, and there certainly will not be. What else you got, Gibbs?
Oh, okay. Thanks, bro. You're the man.
I thought he said questions. I thought he said multiple questions. So anyway, just thought it was interesting, though, to let you know.
I do have multiple questions.
He's back.
Sorry. Bring it.
I'm busy screening calls. Now we're lighting things up here a little bit. Iron Will tweets at us, how might the verbiage for play calls change with Flip? Learning curve may be reduced without 25-word plays to spit out.
And that is very, very true. I think that is something that I would imagine, knowing the struggles that Johnny Manziel had with the verbiage last year, that they were going to look for somebody who might have an easier way to communicate his plays. But we will not know anything about that until we hear that from Flip himself. I don't know anything about that.
And I don't either. I know some of the Norv Turner terminology, and it's not 17 words. I'll say that.
What was it like? What were his play calls like?
For example, the one thing that he used for the routes were numbers. So, Jack left yo 477 Y flat. So, the Jack would be like
Gazoo
the
take.
Yeah, exactly. With the Jack or the card in a deck would essentially give the blocking scheme to the offensive line. So that's okay. Why you see those guys leave early, because it's always at the front. Jack left, which means basically you're going to put the tight end to the left. Yo, which means he's going to yo across. So he's going to start right, end up left, or start left, end up right, whichever way. 477, okay. So that means – and some systems go left to right, and how their numbers go, some go right to left. So it's all depending. So we'll say left to right. So the X would run a four route, which is an in-breaking route. And then on the right side, you're going to go with twins. You're going to have two receivers there, and they're both going to run double sevens, and then you could put like F flat, which means you're going to get the fullback in that set to the flat as well.
When you clear,
so you're going to get that level. You're going to get that levels route on one side and a four in breaking route, from the backside essentially coming in, by the X. So, but again, it tells everybody their job,
Uh-huh.
So it was enough for me as a defender to pick it up.
Right.
To understand.
Quick, so it was easy. Hopefully we'll get some of that. Keep things easy here in Cleveland. All right, we got Jay on a cell. Jay, welcome to CBD.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good, man. I'm good. I'm in the land of the Magics. I'm down here in Barberton. So, hey, right. I had a question about DeFilippo and obviously the new position. I think it's good. And you related him to Norv Turner. How did Mack and the offensive line do with Norv Turner as their offensive coordinator? Because I know everybody was, you know, when we drafted Mitchell Schwartz, he was really good and then got set back. And so I'm wondering if, you know, the blocking scheme now, if he's going to excel in that. Because, you know, obviously with Mack coming off an injury and the right guard, it sounds like guard is real key to this guy's, position as far as, running plays and all that. I guess I was just want to try and get your take on that.
My best guess, if it's similar to Norv Turner, it will be a lot more man-on-man blocking scheme. And also, too, a mix of, like, slide protection, which would be, you know, a combination of what we saw last year out of Kyle Shanahan's offense. The one thing that you're not going to be able to do is really work together a lot. You'll see this. You'll see Alex Mack working with one of the guards, you know, and not the other. But that does mean in some cases that you might get Mitchell Schwartz out on an island, Joe Thomas out on a line, and that's why you, Nathan, talked about, you know, the three-step drop to cut some of those guys, to slow those defenders down. You'll also see, again, I think the fullback, or getting a fullback. I don't think Ray Agnew is that guy for the Cleveland Browns, but getting a fullback, because Norv Turner's system, you know, with Lorenzo Neal in San Diego and what he did, you know, everywhere he's been, he's had a fullback, Daryl Johnston, to go back to his Cowboy days. Getting him out in the flat, he's a guy that's going to have, you know, 15 to 20 receptions, but also, too, play a big role in pass protection. So they're going to be out on some island, but they're going to work together more as a unit as opposed to the five down linemen working together in that zone scheme.
There you go. Appreciate the call, Jay. 216-578-0850. All signs pointing to John DeFilippo being named the new offensive coordinator of the Cleveland Browns, 36-year-old Youngstown native, most recently the quarterback's coach for the Oakland Raiders. We'll get your thoughts on that. We'll get into Deflategate. Do you guys care about this at all? Is it a big deal? Right now, Bovada taking bets on whether or not Bill Belichick will be suspended one game for the deflated ball scandal. Will Belichick be suspended, yes or no? They're taking odds on this right now. They think no is the favorite on both of those, in case you were wondering, by the way. Mark Sanchez, you know, we talked about Carson Palmer being linked to John DeFilippo. He tutored Mark Sanchez, who Mike Pettine knows as well from the time with the Jets. So there are some of the potential free agent quarterbacks out there with some links there to DeFilippo. All right, when we come back, we will continue to talk about that. We'll talk about Deflategate, and we'll take your phone calls, 216-578-0850.
There's been so many things that's held us down, but now it looks like things are finally coming around. I know we've got...